lose a battle, the one that will never lose any battle. Father, we thank you again and again. We give you all praise and all glory. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' most marvelous name, we have given thanks. Amen. Again, for all those wonderful testimonies in the midst of his people, only God is the doer. No man can do anything, and that is why we cannot take glory for anything. He takes glory for everything. For the ones he has done, for the ones he's doing, working out right now, and the ones he will yet do, let's lift up our hands again also and give him thanks. Father, we thank you for the awesome testimonies every day in this assembly. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you. We appreciate you because you cannot lie. We thank you and we appreciate you because you cannot fail. We thank you and we appreciate you. Give him thanks this morning. Give him praise. Give him glory and honor. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' most precious name, we have given thanks. Your amen is weak.
Amen.
Your own testimony is next.
Amen.
Your own testimony is now.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Help me welcome your neighbor to your right and left. Congratulate your neighbor on your right and on your left. Say to your neighbor, it's a new day for you. Say to your neighbor, it's a new day for you. Congratulations and congratulations and congratulations in Jesus' name. Put those hands together for the Lord. Please be seated comfortably. Father, we give you praise and glory. Move again in our midst today. Speak expressly to your people. Open our hearts to understand. Let your name be glorified. Thank you, Holy One. You will settle everyone miraculously today. And your name will be exalted. Jesus' name. Teaching series, Uncovering the Root of the Faith That Works. Uncovering the root of the faith that works. And we understand from the beginning of the month that we are looking into the root of the faith that works. What is making it stand? For faith to work, there are things that must be uncovered. And one of it is that the faith that works requires work. The faith that works requires work. If our faith must work, then we have to be at work. If our faith must work, then we have to be at work. That means without faith, work. Without work, faith is dead. Therefore, to keep faith at work and alive, work must be in place. Glory to God. Hebrews 11 and verse 1 tells us specifically, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. There is hope and there is evidence. And please take note, hope and evidence will lead to action. Also known as work. Known as works. Faith and evidence, or hope and evidence, will lead to action. If you have hope and you have seen the evidence, then you will take steps. We will begin to take steps. That's why he said in James 2 and verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith without works is dead also. He said, show me your faith by your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. If work is not in place, faith remains fake. If work is not in place, faith remains fake. Hope works is the spirit that keeps hope alive. Glory to God. Work or works is the proof or evidence that hope is not lost. And that means where work is lacking, it means faith is fake. John 10:37 If I do not the works of my Father, then believe me not. If my faith does not come with works, then don't believe it. It is sure or a sign that it is fake. That means never talk about faith when there is no corresponding work. A sign that you really have faith is that there will be corresponding work to match it. Now take a look at this, 1 Samuel 2 and verse 3. It says, talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth. He said, for the Lord is a God of knowledge. You can't fake him. And by him, actions are weighed. In other words, what we do shows or proves to God whether we believe or not. It is not what we say. It's not technically what we say. We can say anything, but what are we doing? What we do must match what we are saying to prove that we have faith. And that's what irritates the enemy. Works simply means I believe God no matter what. Works means I believe God no matter what. And that's what irritates the devil. That's why Jesus said to Peter, look, Peter, it's not I know you can talk. You talk every time. But take note, Luke 22, 31 to 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He says, but I have prayed for you. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I will not pray that the devil will not come. The only way I can help you is that your faith will not fail. As long as you are still alive and your faith is in place, you are still alive. But if your faith is dead, consider yourself dead. Faith, I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Hebrews 10:38, he says, now the just shall live by faith. So if there is no faith, then the just is dead. Glory, glory to God. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Faith keeps the just alive. Faith keeps the just alive. Now, works keeps faith alive. Faith keeps the just alive, but works is what keeps faith alive. So where work is lacking, faith is lacking. Where faith is lacking, the just is dead. Is somebody understanding something this morning? Glory to God. What is faith, therefore? What is faith? Let's take a look at some examples of what faith is. Number one, faith is a living force drawn from the living word to produce living proofs. Faith is a living force drawn from the living word to produce living proofs. Take a look at an example here. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, 43 to 48. It said, and a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. Take note, there was no prayer. Take note, even the one that was touched did not realize that he was touched until something happened. Take note, this woman didn't announce herself that I am going somewhere to do something, but she had something in her mind. She said, came by the border, and immediately the issue of blood stanched. Her problems came to an end. What no doctor could do for 12 years came to an end in an instant. And Jesus said, who touched me? And he said, When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee. That's why we are your bodyguards. But even as your bodyguards, we don't have all power over them. Everybody is touching you. And you are saying, who touched me? And then he said, and when the woman, he said, no, that's not what I'm saying. He said, Master, and Jesus said, somebody touched me. I'm not talking about those who are thronging me. I'm talking about somebody that has touched me. Because that person has touched the word and they have drawn virtue. They have drawn virtue out of me. How did I know? He said, because virtue is gone out of me. And then he said in verse 46 and 47, and when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him there before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good cheer, of good comfort, thy faith made thee whole. Go in peace. This was a case of a living force drawing from the living word to produce living proofs, which are also known as testimonies. Glory to God. The living force was drawn. Can I have my guys out here very quickly? Glory to God. Hallelujah. The living word. The living force. So there is a force. I want to show it to you vividly so that, because it says faith comes by seeing, by hearing, and by seeing. Praise the name of Jesus. Where is the living word? Where is the living force? That's the living force. The living force is drawing from the living word. And then the result will always be living proofs. Living force. Begin to draw from the living word. No, you can't move. The living force is forcing something out of the living word. Whether you like it or not, whatever you force out of the living word must produce living proofs.
Hallelujah!
Glory to God. It does not matter who agrees with you or not. Whatever you are forcefully drawing from the word must result in living proofs. Why? Because this one cannot lie. The living word cannot lie. So when that woman went to Jesus, she said, I don't need him to pray for me. He doesn't even need to know me. All I want to do is to draw something from him. And when she began to draw something from the living word, it resulted in living proofs. In this service, everyone seated here, you are returning with your testimony. The Lord bless you. You know, we are doing this in second service again, so don't run. Glory to God. The living word will always produce from the living word. That's why Jesus said in verse 45 of that scripture, who touched me? Because this is not normal. The touching is not normal. Somebody forced something out of me. That is faith. Faith is what is happening is contrary to what the word says. But there is a living force that will force out what the word says to eradicate what is happening, to subdue what is happening. What is happening is for a moment. What is written is forever. What is happening is for a moment. And what is written has capacity to subdue what is happening. That is faith. When it is drawn out of the living word, it must produce living proofs. That will be your testimony next. Amen. Now, what is faith? Number two, faith is putting God's word to work, believing. Faith is putting God's word to work, believing. Now, take note, you understand now that everything we have been talking about, you have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. Glory to God. There must always be works if there has to be proofs. Nobody acts on what someone else has said except they trust them. Except you trust them. Now, so faith is relying on God's word because we trust him. John 2, verses 1 to 11. He said, and the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto his servants, well, I know him. We came from the same house. As a matter of fact, I gave back to him. He's not normal. Whatever he says to you, never doubt it. Just do it. I have, as a privileged mother, I have tried to talk to him. It's as if he doesn't want to hear me, but anything he says to you, do it. Next. Then verse 6. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone. Now take note, the Bible talks about that this was the first miracle that Jesus did. First one. So nobody knew him like his mother. He must have been doing something. I would simply say that was the first miracle he did in the open. He must have been doing some things at home. That his mother would be looking at him, what kind of a child is this one? Whatsoever he says to you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 first skins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled the... You know, they are now obeying him. They obey, listening to the mother and obeying him. Whatsoever he says to you, do it. And they filled, to prove that they obeyed, they filled it to the brim. And he said unto them, now, there was no prayer. There was nothing. Probably they didn't even know him because that's the first time. He said, pull now, draw now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. He said, and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast tasted the water, when they gave it to the governor probably asked them, where did you get it from? When they gave it to the governor, they didn't taste it themselves. To see, before we go and disgrace ourselves, let's taste it first. No, they totally and absolutely obeyed and believed him. They took it to the governor, and the governor said, what? Where did you get this one? For every other person keeps the last one to the... But you are bringing the best one out now. Why? How did you get it? And then in verse 11, he said, and Jesus, this, the beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. And what he did, even those who were following him didn't believe in him before, but his disciples believed on him. Any faith that makes God absolutely responsible is irresponsible faith. You are sitting down. God, do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. You have said you will do it. Do it now. What are you doing for him to do it? You have to do something for him to do it. He's not a Father Christmas God. You have to do something for him to do it. Somebody's story is changing today. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. James 2:26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works also is dead. So faith It's also, now number three, very quickly. Number three, faith is sharing responsibility with God. With God's word. Faith is sharing responsibility with God's word. We have heard over and over again from God's servant that any faith that makes God absolutely responsible for the affairs of our lives is irresponsible faith. Responsible faith is sharing responsibility with God. John 9 and verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And what did he do? And when he did something strange, different from what he used to do. In verse 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay out of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Somebody else would have said, why are you spitting in my eyes now? Your eyes couldn't see before. So anything I do there is okay. Put spittle and anointed the eyes. Now go to the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore not complaining, and washed and came back seeing. Sharing responsibility with God. Your responsibility as a father is to pay your child's school fees. His responsibility is to go to the school and come out victorious. You can't pay for the school fees and he sits at home and says, by faith, I have passed. Have you seen that one before? Will you pay for him next month? By faith, I have passed. But I paid your school fees, but I'm still at home. I have faith that I have passed. It is sharing responsibility with God in line with his word. He says something, even if it doesn't make sense, you do it. And listen to me, whatever God will say will not make sense. Are you hearing me? Whatever God tells you will not ever make normal sense. We are going to get there this morning. It won't make normal sense. Your own responsibility is just believe. And just do it. Glory to God. Faith does not put all responsibility on God. There is a part we need to play. John 21, 5-6. Jesus asked them a question. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. He said, I'm not a magician, and I will not do everything for you. Now it's a joint venture. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. There is something we have been doing that is wrong. The right thing to do will be drawn from his word. Cast now onto the right side. And when you cast to the right side, you can't go wrong. Everyone that casts on the right side can never go wrong. So whatever the word says to do, do it. Glory to God. This month, what has eluded you for years will be placed in your hands. Amen. By faith. Characteristics of the faith that works, number one. Characteristics of the faith that works, number one. Faith that is rooted in the fear of God. Faith that is rooted in the fear of God. Romans 6 and verses 1 to 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And then in verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Ye are not under the law, but under grace. Paul said, this is the reason faith will not work, and this is the reason faith works. When you are living in sin, faith will not work. Faith is punctured when we are living in sin. He says that's the reason some people's faith is not working. Then Paul said, this is the reason why my faith is working. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. He says, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. That the faith that works must be void of blame. The faith that works. Paul said, because I can do all things through God that strengthens me. That is faith. That is, there is nothing impossible for me to do by my faith. And how did my faith grow? I'm not living in sin. Somebody's faith will grow this month. Amen. I said somebody's faith will grow this month in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Characteristics of the faith that works. Number two, heart-seated faith. Heart-seated faith. If faith is of the head, it will fail. The faith that is of the head is the faith that will not walk. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The mixture is done in the heart. And that is what makes the difference. The mixture of faith is drawn in the heart. If you are using your head, you would have punctured the faith. If you are using your five senses, your faith will be ruptured. The faith that works is the faith that is seated in the heart. Romans 10:10. For with the heart, man believeth. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. If it is not from the heart, then it is from the head. Mixing it in your head nullifies its potency. Mixing it in your head nullifies its potency. Matthew 9, 21 to 23. For she said within herself. She said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Some of us trust and believe our doctors and lawyers more than we trust the word of God. You don't even know whether the lawyer went to school, really. Am I speaking with some? You don't know whether the lawyer went to school. He just told you, I graduated in law. Show me your certificate. You never asked for certificate, but because his mouth is sweet, he's telling you, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. This is what will happen. You believe them more than we believe the word of God. I've shared with you before how I went to court with one lawyer like that, and the lawyer didn't even know what he was talking about. I was the one that was, even if I was the lawyer, I will do better than you are doing. He didn't even have pen. Was asking from pen from the opposite lawyer. Opposition. You're asking for pen from the opposition. Please, do you have pen there? Inside me, I wanted to slap him. You are here in court, you don't have pen. And these things you are talking about are the things that a 10-year-old boy should not be saying. Of course, you from the beginning, I knew we were losing. The next time I would have asked for your certificate, let me see your certificate first before anything. But you see, God's word says something. We are using our head to calculate it. When we see lawyers and doctors, we trust them. But God's word says something. We are using our five senses to calculate them. From today, you are going free. I said you are going free. Amen. The head calculates how it will happen. The heart just trusts the speaker. While the head is calculating how it will happen, the heart just trusts the speaker. Jesus saw the fig tree and cursed it. And at their return, Peter said in Matthew 9, 20 to 21, and in the morning as they passed by, he said, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Why is that a surprise to you? Jesus said. In verse 22, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. And then, but there is a type of faith that works, he said to them in verse 23. There is a type of faith that works. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. He is not using his head. He is using his heart. He is not using his head. He is not using his five senses. Is using his heart, but shall not doubt in his heart. But these ones are the ones that shall see the finger of God. The faith that works is faith that is seated in the heart and not in the faith. So when somebody tells you, oh, before this month is over, you are going to buy your own car, your head is looking at your pocket. Your head is looking at your account number, at your account. Your head is looking at everything that will not make it work. You are going to buy a house without, they won't even, somebody will run out of Canada and say, I want to sell. And you are the one buying that house. Doesn't work that way, Pastor. Doesn't work that way. Your head is calculating how it cannot happen. But faith sits in the heart and just trusts the speaker. How it will happen, I don't care. You said you would do it. I watch it will happen. Somebody's changing levels this month. I said you are changing levels this month. In the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Characteristics of the faith that works. Number four, faith that has its roots in speaking boldly. Faith that has its roots in speaking boldly. You know, you may be saying you have faith. What are you saying? You can't even say it in the beside your friend so that they won't mock you. I'm getting married this year in Jesus' name. And the person looks at you like, where is the bro? The brother is coming. You are deceiving yourself. You better don't stop deceiving yourself. If you are deceiving yourself, you can't deceive us. And then you are letting that enter into your head. Speak until you say it, you can't see it. Speak boldly. You see, nobody is paying for your mouth to speak. It is your mouth. Say it. Whoever wants to get angry, let them get angry. But if it is your mouth, say what you want to see. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Acts of Apostles 4, 13 to 16. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing. So because of what they were saying, they knew that these ones are associated with Jesus somehow. The type of things we say shows the type of company we keep. What comes out of your mouth is already showing the type of company you are keeping. What comes out of the mouth of some people means that they are keeping company with unbelievers. What we say is a show of who we have company with. He said, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The boldness at which they were saying what they were saying showed that they had been in the company of Jesus. Only those who had been in the company of Jesus can be talking like this. Verse 29 to 33. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with all boldness that we may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord. Their bold speaking was a function of the faith they had in the one that they were talking about. Their bold speaking. Acts 14:3, he says, long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. What you believe, you will say boldly, no matter the opposition. What you believe, you will say boldly, no matter the opposition. Now, no matter how laughable, whether people believe you or not, in fact, many people will mock you for what you are saying. If you stop saying it, you cannot see it. They can't see what you have seen, so they don't know what you are saying. If they see what you have seen, they will say what you are saying. But they can't see it. That's the reason they can't say what you are saying, because they can't see what you have seen. Oh, I will buy homes in this nation. I will rent them out. Somebody does not even believe that they can rent a whole building. He believes his station, his basement or apartment. He cannot see, he has not seen himself. But so when you are saying it, some people are just too proud. Are too proud that we buy homes and rent out. Why would you be saying that? You are too proud. Pride, except they call you pride, proud, you don't have faith. A show of your faith is that you are proud because they don't understand what you are saying. They can't see what you have seen. That's why you are saying what you are saying. And because they can't see what you are saying, they will call you proud. They will give you names. But if you must see it, you must say it boldly. Somebody say, I will buy homes in this nation. I will rent them out. I will buy cars and give to people. Somebody couldn't complete that one. Say, I will buy cars and give to people. What you have said, you will see.
Yeah.
Number 5, testimony boosted faith. What God has made happen before, he can make happen again. What he did before, he can do again. Psalm 119 verse 111, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Isaiah said, bind them up so that we can be seeing them and reading them. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 16, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. Let their language be as a result of the record of the testimonies. Whatever you have seen, what testimony you have heard, you are entitled to if you believe. Whatever testimony you have, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. They are not saying it because they can't see it. There is no light in them. But those who are saying it are the ones who have seen it. This one also comes down to pride. Somebody shares a testimony on the altar, and then rather than rejoicing with them, you are angry already. Somebody shares a testimony on the altar, rather than going to them and shaking them. Oh, congratulations, sir. Congratulations, ma. Please pray for me. I also desire that testimony. I desire that testimony. Please pray for me. But the cuckoo don't know what they are doing. Don't even know what they are doing. There is no testimony that cannot be duplicated. I keep saying to people that somebody is sharing a testimony in church means that God is in the neighborhood. He's in the neighborhood. So when he will not stop with one person. You share the testimony, and then if you take note, you will notice that the testimonies we've been hearing will always look similar. When somebody shares a testimony, if you take note, the other testimonies will look like it. Will look like it. Will sound like it. Will look like it. Why? Because somebody is also drawing faith from that testimony. Whatsoever testimony you have heard that you like is coming to you with speed.
Amen.
Characteristics of the faith that works. Number 6, the faith void of offense and bitterness. Hebrews 12:15. The faith that is void of offense and bitterness, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Bitterness makes us fail of the grace. It makes us fall out of grace. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. So bitterness is a troubler. It troubles the person that is carrying the bitterness. And then it says we have a list of the things that defile. Ephesians 4:31-32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake had forgiven you. The root of bitterness uproots faith. It uproots faith. Acts 8 and verse 13. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs that were done. And what did he do? In verse 17. When he should have received the Holy Ghost. When he should have received the Holy Ghost. This was a man that just became born again. And everybody was receiving the Holy Ghost. And then the Bible says, then they laid their hands on them. And they received the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 17. And next verse, 18. And when Simon saw that through laying on of hands, the Holy Ghost was being given, he offered them money. He said, take money. I love what I'm seeing. Take money. Saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands like this, begin to fall down. And what did Peter say? Peter said unto him, thy money perish with you. Because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. For thy heart is not right with God. And what is it that was wrong with him? Verse 22. He says, your heart is not right. Repent. You better repent. Therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. But what is it, Gogo? For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness. Gall of bitterness is the reason you can't even lay hands on anything. Gall of bitterness. Until we clear off bitterness, faith will not work. I keep saying to people, bitterness kills. It's like drinking poison and allowing and thinking somebody else will die. You are the one drinking the poison. You are not thinking somebody else will die. It's like it's allowing somebody to live inside your head rent free. That's bitterness. You won't be found there again. And finally, the faith that never gives up. Characteristics of the faith that works. The faith that never gives up. The faith that will not say no. That will not accept no for an answer. Habakkuk 2 verses 1 to 3. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me. And what I shall answer when I'm reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. And it will not lie. It will not tarry. He says, wait for it, because it will, what? Surely come. It will not tarry. So we wait rejoicing, knowing it cannot lie. We wait rejoicing, knowing it cannot fail. In this service, by this anointing, your God will settle you. Amen. As you tarry to the end, the King of Glory will settle you. Amen. The best of settlement is the one that answers instantly. Settlement that answers instantly. And the oil is a weapon of instant intervention. You want to see something happen now? The power is residing in the oil. It has power to answer instantly. The God of instant answer will answer for you now. Amen. Take note about these things from the anointing oil. Number one, it is a generational mystery in the kingdom with current and impact. Generational mystery with current impact. Generational mystery with current impact. And the impact is still ongoing until Jesus returns. Take a look at it from the olden days. Exodus chapter 30, 22 to 26. It says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also three principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and then began to tell them what to take. And then in verse 25, and thou shalt make it an oil of ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an anointing oil. It shall be an holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony. So it began with the church in the wilderness. And then after a while, the Bible says in verses 30 to 31, and thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. It is not just for now, it is forever. It is what? Forever. Take note of that. So we are not just going into the Old Testament. The Bible calls it generational. It has generational impact. We are handing it over also to our children. As if Jesus tarries, they hand it over to their children. And it goes from generation to generation. What else should you take note about the anointing oil? It is as potent today as it was in the church in the wilderness. The anointing oil is as potent today. It will not be less potent today than it was. This bottle, you see, take note. Bring out your anointing oil for me, if you have one. If you take a look at the bottle of your anointing oil, there is an expiration date. How many have seen it? But the power in the content does not expire. Many understand what I'm talking about. I was looking at this yesterday and it says expiration date September 2023. But the power inside does not expire. Glory to God. It has generational impact. Generational impact. And as potent today as it was in the Old Testament. The content never expires. The power inside never expires. In the Old Testament, take a look. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 13. It says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. What about the New Testament? Mark 6, 12 to 13. And they went out. Jesus also emphasizing the anointing oil. Mark 6, 12 to 13. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. And when Jesus was leaving, he passed it on to the disciples. James 5, 14 to 15. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. If it worked in the church in the wilderness, it worked in the hands of Jesus, it worked in the hands of the apostles, it will work in our hands.
Amen.
I said it will work in your hands.
Amen.
For example, Saul the king, after Saul was anointed, everything changed for him. That's why I know in this service, everything will change for you instantly.
Amen.
Something is changing instantly for you.
Amen.
After he was anointed, everything changed. 1 Samuel 10 and verse 1. It says, then Samuel took the vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord had anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? And five major things began to happen for him. Instantly. Number one was supernatural restoration. That's how I know that whatsoever anyone must have lost here, as this oil comes upon you today, there shall be instant restoration.
Amen.
Some may have lost time, but when he redeems time, you won't remember the time you have lost.
Amen.
The Lord is redeeming time for someone.
Amen.
Supernatural restoration, 1 Samuel 10 and verse 2. When thou art departed from me today, that is after he was anointed. When thou art departed from me today, he said, then shalt thou find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin. And they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found. That is, what you have been looking for has now been recovered. Everything Saul lost was recovered after he was anointed. After this anointing, whatsoever you may have lost, you are recovering here.
Amen.
The second thing that happened to Saul, supernatural favor. Today, as this oil comes upon you, you begin to enjoy supernatural favor.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. In verse 4 of that same scripture, he said, "And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread. They shall receive of thy hand, which you will receive of their hands. They shall salute thee." That is, those who have looked down on you will begin to salute you. Those who have looked down on you will begin to look up to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Supernatural favor. Favor that cannot be stopped. Favor that even your enemy will not know why they did it for you. Supernatural favor. That's what you will attract after this anointing.
Amen.
Number three thing that will be happening to you. Supernatural change of story. Saul's story changed dramatically. In verse 6 of that scripture, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into what? Another man." And then in verse 10, "And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw him," what did they do? They were asking, "What is this that is come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" That means your story will supernaturally change.
Amen.
Somebody's story will supernaturally change.
Amen.
As this oil comes upon you, you become a wow to many.
Amen.
They will be looking at you and say, "What? What happened to you? What happened to him? What happened to her?" You will say, "It's the anointing that changed my story."
Amen.
That anointing, this anointing this morning will change your story forever.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is somebody ready now for a change of story? Come on now, rise up on your feet and give God thanks. Your story must change.
Amen.
Whether you like it or yes, your story must change.
Amen.
I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
I said your story must change.
Amen.
Whatever has caused you to that drew tears from your eyes, as this oil comes upon you today, it will turn to you for a testimony.
Amen.
Whatsoever has been delayed for you that you have not been able to lay your hands on, as this oil comes upon you, you will be receiving good news emails.
Amen.
Good news calls.
Amen.
Good news text messages.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Whatsoever has been impossible for somebody, as this oil comes upon you today, there shall be a 360 degree turnaround for you. Between now and May ending, you are sharing multiple testimonies. Whatever you have been rejected from, whatever has been taken away from you, they will call you back and give you double in return. In the name of Jesus Christ. And so shall it be. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Well, somebody is here this morning, wants to say, "Lord, I want to be a partaker of what we are talking about here." And we can only be partakers if we are born again. If we know the doer. You don't know the doer, you can't come to the, you don't even have faith at all. That means faith is dead. The beginning of faith is to come to the one that calls. And that means we believe. This morning, therefore, somebody is here on ground, somebody is there online that wants to say, "Jesus, I want to know you as my Lord and my Savior." Why not this morning? You are going to put your right hand on your heart and I will pray with you. Someone else, the second category of people, somebody else would say, wants to say, "Lord Jesus, I did know you before, but I walked out on you. Now I want to return to you. I want to rededicate my life to you." Why not? Also put your right hand on your heart. Let me pray with you. Those two categories of people, put your right hand on your heart. And if you are doing that, church, I thought you are clapping for Jesus. If you are doing that, please repeat these words after me. Say with me, "Lord Jesus, I've come to you today just as I am. I know I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day, you rose again, that I might be justified. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, because now I am born again. Jesus' marvelous name." Father, thank you for these precious souls. Your grace brought them. Let the same grace preserve them.
Amen.
These ones will never go back to perdition again.
Amen.
They will begin to take root downwards, bear fruit upwards.
Amen.
To the praise and glory of your name.
Amen.
Thank you, eternal Father. Jesus' most glorious name we have prayed.
Amen.
Well, you said that prayer in your heart and you know it. Why not come meet me here? Let's pray together again. Church, I thought you are clapping. Come quickly. You said the first prayer, or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Why not come here very quickly? Those online, send a text message to the number that has been displayed right now, and someone will also be getting in touch with you. Somebody's blessed this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. You came in here with your bottle of oil. Please bring it out right now. You came here with your bottle of oil. Don't give anybody yet. Let's pray over it first. Now lift it up to heaven and decree. We decree, Lord God of holiness, this morning, that this is turned to the holy anointing oil.
Amen.
And we pray this morning that the same fire in the Old Testament, the same fire in the new, let it go into this oil.
Amen.
Father, let the power begin to work in our hands.
Amen.
As it has worked in the hands of our fathers,
Amen.
It will work in our hands.
Amen.
Whatever we say comes to us.
Amen.
Whatever we go say go to goes for us.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, eternal Father. As this oil comes upon everyone, whatever the desire of your heart is, it shall be an instant testimony.
Amen.
There shall be instant testimonies in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so shall it be. In Jesus' most marvelous name we have prayed.
Amen.
Somebody will be settled here this morning.
Amen.
Somebody will be settled here this morning.
Amen.
There shall be instant settlement for someone.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. On your job, you'll be settled. In your career, you'll be settled. In your body, you'll be settled. Concerning your children, you'll be settled. Concerning your business, you'll be settled. Concerning your spouse, you'll be settled. In every department of your life, there shall be settlement. The settlement that the enemy will never have access to again. In the name of Jesus Christ. Settlement that we speak for a long time. Settlement that we speak for a long time. In the name of Jesus, so shall it be. In Jesus' most glorious name we have prayed. Please anoint yourself now and then begin to speak to the Lord what you want to see. You can share with your neighbor and let the overcomer's voice minister.
Your love has taken over me. Father, I depend on you. I have confidence in you, in you alone.
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I. He said, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And what will he do when he comes in? Verse 12, he said, whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So there is fire, liquid fire in this, that when we partake of it, it burns off everything that is making you uncomfortable. If you believe it, take a shot of the oil. And believe that anything and everything, whatever name it is called, shall be burnt off your own system. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Therefore, expect every yoke on your life to be destroyed. I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
Expect every sickness to be healed.
Yes.
By this anointing, expect every struggle to be terminated.
Amen.
Struggle is finally over in your life. Struggle is finally over in your business. Struggle is finally over in your career. In the name of Jesus Christ. Expect every misfortune to be overturned. Every misfortune is overturning to your testimony. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Expect every desire of your heart to be delivered. Every desire of your heart will be delivered. Expect every war supernaturally won. I said, expect every war supernaturally won. Whatever war you are fighting now, receive victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive victory in the name of Jesus Christ. And in any other department of your life, whatever your desire is, see it now. In Jesus' name. Congratulate your neighbor for me on your right and left. Tell your neighbor it's a new day for you. Tell your neighbor you are blessed on every side. It's your season of testimonies. It's your season of testimonies. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy One. In Jesus' marvelous name we pray. Put those hands together for the Lord. Please be seated. Come forward.